One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art studio slash our bedroom is my lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Hey everybody, welcome to the 200th episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There. The 200th and final episode of Don't Make Me Come Back.
You're announcing this?
Had I not told you that?
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Steven, I know we paid you up front, producer Steven.
No, I don't think we did.
We're going to need that money back. We're going to send you...
So we will invoice you.
We will invoice you for what?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we might actually be behind on payments.
I think we are behind.
Oh, great. Well, you know what? How about the producer and the CFO figure that out and stop interfering with the talent?
All right.
Well. Happy 200, backseaters. Genuinely, it's stupid to me that we've made this many. It's honoring.
It's a lot.
It's embarrassing. It's emotional as I think back on them. It's also humiliating. It's complicated. I feel good and bad and stupid and privileged and all of the above.
I think you should just feel good.
Okay, good. Permission to just feel good about something, Melissa.
Yeah.
Here's what I feel so great about, genuinely. You guys, the backseaters, you guys are fantastic. You really are the cream of the crop as it comes to fans. You guys are involved. We love having you part of the community. We love seeing you guys at shows. We love that you guys have been supportive of the book. I'm starting to take it pretty personally when a lot of you guys are commenting on my tour dates and messaging me going, is Melissa going to be there? And I appreciate that sentiment. Nobody wants her there more than me, but she wants you to go even if she's not there.
I will do a virtual hello.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
For real? Don't promise that, because they're gonna start wanting me to FaceTime you. Should we just start having you on?
Hey, backseaters.
Oh my gosh! Should we just start having you on like a little? I FaceTime you and put you on a little music stand next to me and
the whole show.
Not the show.
No.
The last thing you want her is on stage, trust me. But she's great in the meet and greet line. She really works it, real extrovert stuff there. Thank you guys so much. I know during the pandemic, the pod switched to being just Mel and I, and I would have it no other way. With all due respect to our wonderful guests, I don't miss you even a little bit. I thought I might, and for a while we flirted with being both. I don't even a little bit miss talking to guests. I love
but
you guests
so much.
If you
want to listen to guests, we have a bunch of episodes.
There's lots of back ones, yeah. And you can see what the podcast was. I like talking to guests. There are a lot of guest-driven podcasts. It's a crowded market, and you get pitched a lot of guests, and that's an easy way to say no, which is very helpful when you just go, I'm sorry, we don't do guests anymore. Yeah. And what I really like about having you on the pod mail is I get to share you with everybody because I think you're wonderful, and I'm happy for that people get to see how great you are. And I also feel like this podcast is a totally different side of me, because you get a version of me that nobody else gets.
Absolutely.
And then you get to get like you get a little bit of that on this podcast. Just a teensy little bit of the ridiculousness and silliness that I'm just a little looser with you, a little more of a loosey-goosey.
Definitely. Well, and I think the backseaters are the best because they can take jokes and they can laugh at life. I don't know. I mean, that's just our brand.
Yeah.
You know?
Trying to get you to take life a little less seriously. That's all. So mm-hmm. thank you mm-hmm. for 200 episodes. We really appreciate you guys so much, Backseaters.
Because it's our 200th episode, we launched a 30-city tour.
Oh my gosh. That's true. Announced yesterday, the seasonal headliner tour, which is not news for you guys. We've been telling you Backseaters for a while that that's coming up. I think we might add a couple dates still, but these are what we have right now. The seasonal headliner tour. Are you ready to hear these dates, everybody? June 9th and 10th at the DC Improv in Washington, DC. And then we get into July, San Diego the 1st and 2nd, Chicago the 6th and 7th, Rosemont, Illinois, 8th and 9th. Sorry, outside of Chicago. Chicago, you have options. If you don't show up at these shows, that's 100% on you. I'm there on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in two different Chicago area locations.
Perfect.
You can make it. San Francisco officially went on sale this week, the 13th of July, the 14th and 16th in Huntsville, Alabama, the 23rd in Nashville, the 29th and 30th in Appleton, Wisconsin, the 31st in Phoenix, Arizona. Into August, Sacramento the 11th, Bakersfield the 13th, Oxnard the 14th, Irvine the 17th, Seattle the 27th, Spokane the 28th, Raleigh the 31st. Into September, Charlotte September 1st, Indy the 2nd and 3rd, Kansas City the 4th, Salt Lake City the 10th and 11th, Atlanta the 16th, Minneapolis the 17th, Portland the 18th, Louisville the 25th, Houston the 29th, September 30th and October 1st, Austin, October 19th, Philadelphia, October 28th and 29th, St. Louis. The only other one that I know for sure will go on sale somewhat soon is Detroit. And we'll see. We'll see if other ones get added. They might. They might not. I don't know. I don't know if shows are going to get added. It's up to you guys. That's up to, well, no, that's not true. Shows being added is up to you as far as ticket sales go, but the locations, it's tricky. I do like when people comment, come to the city, come to the city, come to the city. Know that I see those. I absolutely see those. But know that a couple things have to happen for me to go to a city. One, I have to have a booker who likes me there, you know, who is willing to work with us there. Mm-hmm. Or we have to find an independent venue. That's what happened when in Minneapolis. I don't know if this is of interest to you guys or not, but I'm going to talk about it anyways.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have a market where there's a club that likes you. Say Orange County, Brea and Irvine, the Improvs, they like me. I like them. We like doing business together.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, Philly, same thing. You know, certain clubs, Nashville is great. You know, we just kind of work something that's mutually beneficial for all parties. And there are other markets like Minneapolis where I know I have the other thing you need, which is a fan base, but I don't have a booker who wants to return an email or doesn't want to give me a deal or whatever it may be. And that can happen because, you know, I'm kind of this like mid-level. What I say all the time where I'm at in my career is I'm not a big thing, but I'm not a thing.
Yeah.
I have stuff. I have credits. I have a book. I have these things. I have a special. I have, you know, millions of views. I have these things. I have 200 episodes of this podcast. Hey, but I'm not necessarily going to go sell out a weekend. And there's lots of comedians more famous than me. So.
And there's only so many weekends.
There's only so many weekends. So that's how you end up at a place like in Minneapolis where we're at, like an independent venue. So it's great. I like that stuff too. So anyways, DustinNickerson.com/shows. Check that out. Before any of that happens on June 7th.
Less than 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh. How to Be Married to Melissa comes out. You and I have been talking about this book obviously for years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. Last weekend we were in Austin and we did Jamie Ivey's pod and then we hung out with the Ivies afterwards and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that soon. Jamie is such a good podcaster and such a good interviewer that she was bringing up parts of the book and then you were like, what? Like you'd almost forgotten about it or what were you saying? Or you hadn't thought about it in a minute?
Oh, well, look, I got stuck thinking about our son being 18.
Right.
Because her son's about to graduate.
Right. But remember what you were saying with the book, you were like...
I think it's in there. Didn't that happen?
Yeah. Well, you just what it is I wrote this book a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it comes out in 3 weeks.
I know.
I wrote a proposal for it two and a half years ago.
Yeah.
And I turned in a final manuscript in December.
A year ago.
Not the final manuscript.
Oh, but the final.
But the final manuscript, by the time we saw that, that was like, we were just nitpicking small stuff.
Yes.
I turned in essentially was the final manuscript, like almost a year ago. This stuff just takes so long to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So when we did the audio for it, you're like, oh, this book, I forgot I put this in here. Or you're like, oh man, I'm glad I took that part out. You know, whatever. It may be. So she was rereading it and she brought up some stuff and I was like, oh, I have to kind of remember what I was thinking when I wrote that.
I know.
But so anyways, the book comes out on June 7th. If you guys could pre-order that now, that would be fantastic. That's hugely helpful. Never in the history of my life have I ever pre-ordered a book.
But I have.
But Melissa has, and she's joined launch teams, and she's heading up and campaigning this launch team.
Yeah.
It's all great. It's all good.
It's all good.
Melissa, out of nowhere, has just adopted saying, it's all good. I don't know why. It's a very 90s phrase.
I couldn't tell you.
And now
I do it too much, and I do it in public.
Yes.
Like with a passenger on an airplane.
Yes.
Like a seatmate.
Did you say that to a stranger?
Yes.
You did not.
You said
it's all good to a stranger, and did you do the voice? Did you say it's all good, or did you go it's all good? Did you do your rhythm?
Somewhere in the middle. I did a little bit of my rhythm.
What was the context for this?
I think it's when he had to go to the bathroom and he was next to the window.
And you were the aisle or the window?
I was in the middle seat, and he's like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, it's all good. 10 years in San Diego, I guess.
You continue your reign as the most ridiculous human that has ever lived.
Absolutely. Well, that and you and Taylor caught on to my good griefs.
Yeah.
Which I do constantly.
Good grief.
And I did it like 5 times in front of you guys. And then you know, it was cemented.
Yeah. I never know what you're going to do, why you're going to do it.
Neither do I.
you're a one-man improv troupe, only just in life. You just take a suggestion and you don't think twice. Just say
shoot
yes.
Shoot from the hip.
Hilarious. That's all the stuff to promote. So we chatted with Aaron and Jamie Ivy, and they have older kids. You commented, this is so funny, because, you know, I'm not one to open up. It's just not my style. I made a comment to Aaron that sometimes when your kids don't want to hang out with you, it just feels very personal. And I go, and you know, that just hurts. I just take it personally. And he goes like, yeah, I do that too. And then later you were like, did you just make a little connection?
Connection. I was like, babe, did you and Aaron kind of connect there?
That's how rare adult male vulnerable friendship things are, that it was noticed. It was like, and not only you noticed it then, and then you brought it up like 4 or 5 days later. You're like, I remember that you made a genuine human connection with another human.
Yeah.
And that was noteworthy.
It was touching. Meanwhile, it was touching.
Meanwhile, you're connecting with the server. You're going deep.
My seatmates. Yeah.
This person suggested brisket and Melissa dropped her life story.
The cashier, she said, the grocery store.
Pulled pork, and then she pulled pork or brisket, and suddenly Melissa was talking about how hard it was to move in seventh grade. And she goes, you know, I've actually spent some time in Texas and then I moved, and you know, my friend looked a lot like you. It was a lot. None of that happened. But if Melissa had the window, she would have jumped through that window. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we had a good time in Texas. Went to go do the pod and did some shows and just hung out, and it was great. Austin is a fine city. Listen, sometimes I'm being provocative. Sure. Sometimes I'm just ruffling feathers, as they say. I really like Austin, but I still do think it's the most overrated city in America. Both of those things can be true.
Sure.
They can both be true. That I think you're great, but I don't think you're as great as you think you are. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You and I share that in common.
There's a lot of pride in Texas, like for the state, and then they're so proud of Austin.
Yeah, but not all of Texas is. Austin has such a weird dynamic in the state of Texas because, like, it's essentially where anyone who's kind of cool in Texas
and
goes
liberal,
to.
Liberal, yeah.
And so they really have to own Austin as, like, their one thing. But the rest of Texas doesn't like Austin.
Yeah.
And so Texas can't even make up its mind about Austin. So stop shoving Austin down my throat. That's all I'm saying. You're a great city. You're not the great city.
I think a Pacific Northwest kid is going to have a hard time just being sold on Austin.
I just think that there are.
We have San Francisco, Seattle, Portland,
Denver,
Vancouver,
San Diego, like
DC. Yeah.
I'm just saying there are other Austins. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Austin is great. There are 10 to 15 cities as great if not greater, and cooler. And it's not 105 degrees or whatever it was when in May. What are you doing?
It's hot.
Texas like freezes and then catches on fire.
Yeah.
What's going on in Texas?
But the tax breaks.
And their grid, their like electrical power grids can't handle either of them. Are you okay, Texas? Texas, blink twice if you need help. Are you being held captive by the spirit of Texas? It's great. I like Texas a lot. Beautiful. I like the big open sky.
So much land.
I love any place that has like pride in itself, but I don't like any place that tries to like oversell me on this stuff. You said this is, forgive me for the arrogance of this statement. You said this, and I think it's true. Like nobody's ever had to try and convince somebody that San Diego's great.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, I know that's a privilege to live in San Diego. It is. I 100% get it.
Yeah.
But know that I have been poor in this city for a lot of years. You know, we are renters, baby. And you what I'm saying is if you love Austin, great. Love Austin. Don't make me have to love Austin. I like Austin. Probably top 10, top 15 city for me. And it, but it's, it, you know what is, this is my take on Austin. Austin is cool Texas. It's not.
Absolutely.
It's not standalone cool. It's cool Texas. I'm going to take some flack on this. Austin.
I liked it too.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. Okay. I'm going to take.
I did not side with you on her podcast either about this.
I know. Yeah. Listen, you can. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. Know that you have not been to as many cities as me.
Yeah. The artists, the Texan artists aren't. Are
Austin. Absolutely. I do love the people of Austin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what this is? This is my old Seattle punk rock crap. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it.
And you don't, if you ask, then you're not going to get the answer you want. If you're like, am I cool?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're not going to get.
And here's the other
affirmation you're looking for.
Here's just a little bit of self awareness. If I would have liked Austin before you did. Then I would love Austin. So I know I'm full of crap here.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change how I feel.
I did get 9 mosquito bites in under 48 hours.
Yeah, it was.
So I took a little souvenir home with me.
Did you get some of the coffee? Did you get any see in the sides? Did you get some barbecue? Yes. But
tacos?
Also, what is great with me, it is so valuable to have friends that have kids a little bit older than you. Just
absolutely.
A little, because we are in the thick of it with the teenage years, and they are every challenge that everyone warned you to be, and then some. Mm-hmm. It's the attitude, and it's not unique to them. It's not unique to it's
the stage.
It's just teenagers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were that way,
yep.
Though we were not. We did not talk as openly to our parents as we let our kids talk to us.
No.
And it's just very challenging. They're lethargic. There's attitude. They're argumentative. They're not dying to spend a lot of time with you.
They're not thankful. Like,
they're not. They even if they are thankful,
they are
they
thankful.
They don't exude.
Deep.
Yeah.
Deep in their hearts.
I think the hardest part about having a teenage kid is that everything that you do with them, they want to bring a friend.
Yeah.
And that hurts your feelings as a parent. Every time it hurts your feelings. Hey, we're going on this great vacation. Can I bring a friend? Hey, we're going on a cruise. Can I bring a friend? Hey, we won round trip tickets to the moon. Can I bring a friend? No. It's a space shuttle of two. There's no friend. Well, can I bring the friend instead of you? No.
Can I FaceTime my friend in this spaceship?
Does the shuttle have Wi-Fi? No, it doesn't.
What about a vending machine of snacks?
I will hold
to
that.
But we just ate.
We just ate. I will hold to that. All a kid wants. The only love language a child has, the only single love language that a child has is a snack from the gas station. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they want. That represents unconditional love to them. They don't want your hug. They don't want your words of affirmation. They don't want you to say, I love you. They want a Mountain Dew and some Sour Patch Kids. That's all they want.
It's the best.
That is, I love you.
That's love.
That is love right there. Mountain Dew, Sour Patch Kids. And it's a form of huge sacrifice for you as the parent because you give those two things to your kids in the car and you go, in 20 minutes, I'm going to want to crash this car.
They're going to be bouncing off.
They're going to be bouncing off these walls right here. And you're like, you know what? Unbuckle your seats. Open the door for all I care. I'll barrel roll this thing into a canyon.
Okay.
Sorry.
Maybe just have a Mountain Dew.
Maybe just have a Mountain Dew and chill.
It's all good.
It's all... you are. It's. We're going to have to make some shirts with Mel's face. It's all good. You're continue. Like I say, your reign is the most ridiculous human being in the world. Some of this was on, so it was Joel's birthday week. Mm-hmm. It really did turn into a week. And that's what it is you kind of like, you know, what's funny is you bemoan and begrudge little kid birthday parties and all the execution that it goes to pull them off. And then you have a teenager and you're like, you know what? That little built-in party where everyone brought them a little toy was pretty great, actually.
Well, and you have all the photos to look through.
You have all the photos to look through.
To remind you, and you're like, the little Spider-Man outfits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember when we all did the superhero party for Joel? That was really cute. Remember mm-hmm. when we did the puppy face one for Gloria? Oh, that's so cute. You know, remember when we hired the clown? We never did that, but you know. Remember, we did down at the Croc, we did so many Corner Zone. Yep. Here's a couple inflatable.
Kind of. Things.
Oh, the dream.
You did,
built
we did
in.
A dodgeball party.
Oh, the dream.
When Joel was like in sixth grade.
That was
so
his
fun.
Last kind of party.
Yeah, and we all knew it.
Yeah, because even then
the
it did.
The whole baseball team came.
Yeah, I knew we were there. I knew it was a little, that was probably the last one because I had to put on a show a little bit. Like I kind of roasted Joel in front of his friends to kind of like, hey, this is kind of cool for older kids too, right?
Toys.
Yeah, no, dad's roasting me. So we played, like, I remember orchestrating a couple basketball games.
Yeah, you guys played basketball and dodgeball. It was great.
So it was entertaining. Yeah. But now it's like, you got to take out a loan. You're like, so what are we doing? Rolex, car, iPad, Tesla, that trip to space we were talking about.
Yeah, the space trip.
The space trip.
Can I bring without a friend? The friend.
Can I bring a friend? It's the ask. They're like the dripping faucet. What it was with Joel for his birthday, I took him up to LA. I did a spot and I was like, hey, so you and a friend, you got to bring a friend. But it's a friend that we chose.
It
was a mutually agreed upon friend. And
but it also had to be a friend that whose parents were cool.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah.
This dynamic. Yeah. And also that we could trust in a hotel for a little bit.
Because it was very secure, tell you, very high up. But I was like, hey, I'm going to go to this spot here. So it's going to be a write off. But it was all super fun. But you were down here with the girls. Yeah. Oh, and then we went to a Dodger game on Sunday, which was super cool. You were down here with the girls. And on Saturday, Gloria had kayaking. And this was such a, I just feel like this so encapsulates, you know, teen and Gloria's since like preteen years, where you made very clear you cannot hang out with a friend after this. There's no friend hang after this. And she understood that. And then you got in the car and she said, can we go to the mall?
Oh, yeah.
You had blacked that out. I tried to set that up for you, but you had blacked out the memory. That's hilarious.
I think she was, you can see it happen. They're talking post practice and you're like, do not plan anything. We have to go home.
Right.
You cannot hang out with a friend after this 4-hour practice.
No, absolutely not. But can I go to the mall?
Oh, but I got invited.
Is there Wi-Fi? Did you install that router in the car yet? Okay. Can we get a vending machine in the car?
Do you only have the strawberry snacks? I like the blueberry.
Mom, you don't understand.
This is just the Goofy movie. You're just quoting the Goofy movie.
Yeah. And Napoleon Dynamite. That movie is so accurate. It's crazy. Crazy. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I remember feeling it. I think that's the hardest tension so far that I felt as a parent of teenagers is remembering what it's like and trying to empathize. And it's very hard. And when you ask them why they did something and they say, I don't know, that's their genuine answer. But also being like, yeah, but I'm your parent. I have to like enforce things with you. I have to coach you. I have to try and help you improve and self-awareness and how your decisions affect other people. It's hard, super hard. I have no answers. That's why I wrote a marriage book. That I get. My marriage is a teenager. My marriage turns...
18.
Oh my gosh, our marriage is going into senior year this year. Senior year of high school. Our marriage is older than we were when we met now.
Oh, wow.
You were about to say something. I cut you off.
I was going to say that you have been trying to do the not get on the train.
Yes.
The emotions train with the teens.
I find it very effective. And what I like about it is it's very vexing to them. They are very vexed,
like,
because
peeved.
They want to argue. And listen, I'll argue, baby.
You love to argue.
You want to go? Let's go. I'll go. Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm still showing some restraint and self-control, mostly with what I say, not how I say it. But it's kind of like debating and like arguing with a teenager. It's like, I don't know. It's like you're the bull charging the rodeo clown.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, does this even hurt you? Are you even getting any of this? Are you? This all just feels like it's for show. It's a facade. They're not listening to anything that you said. But anyways, I've probably said it 10 times in 4 or 5 days where I say like, hey, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to go up with you. You had read this before. Mm-hmm. And then the Ivies mentioned they were doing it too. And I've heard some other people say it too. You just like, don't go up with them. And you do. You just kind of make a decision that you're like, I'm not going to get loud with you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to say it like this, in this tone. You were wrong, period. This is the consequence, period. That happened yesterday with one of our kids. We have to be more and more anonymous with our kids if we're talking about anything that they may or may not have done wrong, because we're realizing we have a lot of different families that listen. And friends who like follow me on IG, and they'll send screenshots to our kids of when I post about them. So, hey-o. Thanks for listening, by the way. But we had one kid get in, I don't want to say trouble, but was a little too lackadaisical, was late to class in a class where their grade is not exactly crushing it, and there's been some behavior issues already in said class. Mm-hmm. I will let you know, this narrows it down to any one of my three kids. That situation applies to any one of my three kids. And so the consequence was, okay, take your phone. And there was an argument, and what? No, all of it back. And I just said, I'm not going to do this with you. Give me your phone. I'll tell you. I mean, there's no debate here. They are adequately vexed.
Yeah.
And it is, you know what I feel like, but is it mean? Because the most frustrating thing in the world to you when we argue is when I go, hey, I'm not mad. I'm not going to yell at you.
Yeah, I do get really mad about that. But also, I try to retreat sometimes and you won't let me, you know, because you want closure.
Yeah.
So I see both sides. The validation's impossible because you're not going to be like, no, you're right. I shouldn't have done this. Or, you know, like that's, you're like, I understand that you're upset. This bugs you. And then they're like, doesn't feel like you understand me, you know.
Right.
It's, everyone just needs some time.
Yeah.
To cool down.
Well, you get upset and then my insecurities go, oh, am I a bad parent? That's where I go to immediately when I get too upset. So it's actually very beneficial to me too. And then you're just like,
it's the when you statement, you know.
Elaborate, please.
We learned that in therapy. When you can talk calmly, we can discuss this.
Right, right.
You know,
in other words, you're acting in a
way. You're screaming at me.
Right.
Child, there's no way we're going to solve this until you can calm
when
yourself
X
down.
Happens, Y will happen, you know?
Yeah.
And it's good. It's very effective for now. I probably will stop doing it in a few weeks when I get bored and
forget.
Go back to yelling. Now, I will say I did yell yesterday, but every once in a while as a parent, I feel like when you get upset with one of your kids, you kind of like look to the other parent to be like, is that okay that I just did that? Or am I out of line here? And you did give me a pass yesterday because I have a bad back. It's just a thing.
You traveled a lot. You traveled Tuesday through Sunday.
And it was driving. Yeah. And driving gets me. Like flying.
But it was flying, driving. Yeah.
Well, it probably started with the LA drives. And then there was not a lot of driving in Austin. And I didn't really have.
What about Jasper, though? Did it start there?
No.
Well, it was also the Russian twist you did.
Yeah.
Those always
I also tweaked it in Austin.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then there was more driving. I do it solely to upset you. Oh, 200th episode. Oh, that was one of my favorite moments to date. But the, it hurts. My back hurts. And then the sleeping and the walking and, not the walking, but then there was some exercising. And then like a dum-dum, I golfed yesterday because what's going to heal an aching back? But hundreds and hundreds of twists.
Swings.
Yeah. Now, I shot pretty well, but there's the warm-up swings. There's the driving range.
Thousands of swings.
There's so many swings. So many thousands. We had friends who were moving. It was a farewell thing. Mm-hmm. It was great. I'm so glad we did it. But my back feels like, it's awful.
Yeah.
It hurts so bad. Just a small little pinch. And then everyone's diagnosing it. Sean, who I golfed with yesterday, worked for a chiropractor. He's like, it's a pinched nerve. You need a chiropractor. And everyone's like, I got to do stretching. I got to do something. You're like, I know. I need to do all of that probably.
Yeah.
But I don't. Nobody has time for this. We don't have time for this, everybody. Everybody has a book coming out in 3 weeks.
That's right.
Right? A couple of guys that I golfed with yesterday, they said like, well, you seem busy. You know, you're busy. You're doing stuff all over the place. And I said, I'm actually just as busy as everybody else. It's just I post everything that I do. If you posted everything that you did, you would seem very, very busy too.
Sure.
You know, like everywhere that you went.
In a week.
Yeah. And my stuff, like, you're like, oh my gosh, you're in Boston. You're in this place. That's true. And you went to work every day, or you went, maybe you work a job where you go to different sites each day.
Yeah.
If you pulled out your phone and made some stupid video like I do, like an idiot in public, then you would seem you would seem just as busy.
That's true. In the public eye. So you were going to share the story about how you were stretching. And this is when you yelled.
Yeah. So I,
because the back.
I'd spent about a half an hour on back care. In the living room. Of which Joel was even involved with, where I asked him to go get me the heating pad. I'm just laying on the ground with my legs up, you know.
A lot of 90 degree angles.
I fly to Canada tomorrow. I have internet. I'm out with Bergetzi this week, you know.
It's a long run,
A long run. I haven't done a 5-dayer in a long time. I wanted to hike today. I wanted to work out today. I want to do all these things. We did hike on Sunday and I felt okay there. I think it was the golf, that's why every time I've laid down in my back pain, I've said, I'm an idiot. You know, but what am I going to do? We had planned this for months in advance. Yeah. And, you know, I shot the best round, so it feels good. But it doesn't physically feel good, but emotionally feels good.
You're not a quitter.
I've been doing various stretches and motions and heat
therapy,
and ice and massage gun and all the stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm literally doing, what's the one?
Cat. The yoga pose.
Cat, cow, going back and forth.
Yep.
And which one's the one where your back's flat? Cat?
Cow.
That's cow.
The arch is the cat.
Yeah. Joel, what's it called? Joel parkours over my back. Joel puts his full body weight on his hands.
The middle of your back.
On the middle of my back. No, the lower part of my back, where the pain is, and pushes me down. And I go, you idiot.
And then you laid there.
Yeah, I laid there for 5 minutes. And I immediately apologized for calling him an idiot. I said, you're not an idiot. I'm sorry. And he goes, I'm sorry. I just didn't think it through. And you know what? That's an incredibly honest answer.
Yep.
That's a very, you're 15. You're in the height of puberty. Like everything about your brain is on fire. You can't see. Puberty is like a time where it's pretty much everybody has ADD. That's how
it
am.
It feels like it.
It really is just like, I have to do what my body wants me to do right now, period.
But imagine if you also had ADD.
Oh, God, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. It's like being on drugs all the time. You just say like, I gotta do this thing right now. I cannot see our little, my wonderful, beautiful, amazing little ADD child, Gloria. I have to coach her how to eat in a polite way that's considerate of other people. We went to, it was for Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. We went to Blanco, which is our favorite sit-down Mexican restaurant in San Diego. When you live in San Diego, there's a million. You've got your taco shop. You've got your fish tacos. You've got your burritos. Mm-hmm. You've got your families
tamales.
In town. Should we go to a touristy area?
Yeah.
And then you got your tamales
fish
place.
Fish taco place.
You've got, and then you've got your place. This is our our family's going out place. Good food, good drinks, and it's the best queso, and queso's harder to find.
Really good atmosphere. Yeah.
Great vibes, as they say. Mm-hmm. And the queso comes, and Gloria loses her mind. Gloria is...
Yeah, it's like one cup of queso.
Yeah, it's not a lot of queso. People. And she will not let a hand be empty on the chips.
Yeah, she's so like, double-fisting the queso.
Yeah, so she's grabbing a chip as she dips a chip, and then just puts it in her... It's just a rotation... You know, like the boxers, you know, when they do the bag with the she's doing that with queso chip dips.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Gloria, you have to slow down.
I made a little plate for grandpa.
So he would get some because it was in part his birthday too.
Yeah.
So I say to her, Gloria, you have to take a bite and then you have to count, you have to swallow and then count to 20 before you can get another bite. And it's driving her insane. I can see her physically shaking. But you don't know this, Melissa. I do that to myself. Yeah. I take a bite of an appetizer, I swallow it, and I count to 20.
Yeah. That's part of the reason why we're not like a big eating out couple historically. Because there used to be times when you wouldn't put the burger down.
No.
You just, it's in your hand.
Yeah.
And you just finish it.
And then it's gone.
And then you're bored.
It's in my hand, stomach. Are we done yet?
And I'm like looking over the,
can we get the check? I gotta go. Parenting teens is very hard. It's very, very hard. But you do get more sleep, and that is nice.
Yeah, but then a lot of people see the other side as you're worried because they're out and you're trying to sleep, and you need to sleep because you have to get up early. And
yeah, I mean, they stay up later than you sometimes.
Yeah.
So I've been sending them to bed more lately because you're like, I said that to Joel last night. He was like, I don't want to bed so early. This is my new impersonation of a teenager. Anyway, I don't want to go to bed so early. They're like, well, you're not getting up when your alarm goes off, so go to bed now. You're not getting enough sleep, Bubby. Bubby?
Bubby.
Bubby. Mm-hmm. All right. Send us more thoughts on raising teenagers, guys. Those are my favorite, and they make me feel seen with everything that we're going through. All right, we've got some emails to read. We got three emails that we want to read to you guys right here, guys.
All right.
Remember, all emails go to don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. But if you are going to post what you do while you listen to the podcast, and maybe throw in like a little happy 200th or something there, you're welcome to do that. But make sure you tag at Dustin Nickerson for that. Here we go. Subject. You got your guys crush it. You guys crush it. I don't know. I think it might be a
great title. Okay.
That's probably my error.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Brian. Hey, Dustin and Melissa. I have been loving the podcast. I got to see perform at Men's Summit at Gateway Church last year and have been a big fan ever since. My question is, I've never been to a comedy club before, so when you're the headliner, does that mean I pay to only see you perform, or will there be other people performing as well? The reason I ask is because my wife and I are very careful about what we listen and watch to avoid acts with swearing and such, which is fine for your show, but if the other acts are not as clean as yours, it could be a problem. So I guess my real question is, how can I pay to support you at a comedy show but also not be bombarded with foul language from other comics? Long-winded, my bad, but please keep up the great work for you both doing, and I hope your family is healthy and doing well. Brian, thanks for the email.
Thank you, Brian.
Good question, Brian. The answer is, it depends.
Yeah.
If you're in Texas, I can speak practically. I'm pretty sure Alec Parent is opening me for those shows, or at least he's middling. The relationship that I have with the clubs there, I can probably ask for a clean opener. It's a weird thing. You know, when you are, it's a real honor and privilege to get to start headlining clubs, especially for good dates, especially on weekends, you know, which I'm getting more of. But it's another kind of privilege that you get to bring an opener and or request a certain type of owner opener, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's just really kind of no...
And then the middle, all those dynamics.
Yeah, so most comedy club shows have two openers, a host and a middle, and you have to be moving a lot of tickets usually to get to request.
To control the whole show. Yeah.
You can, if you have a relationship, but if there's like a club, like the DC Improv is a good example. Mm-hmm. I'm going there for the first time. Hey, said, could I bring somebody? And they said, you know what? Actually, we're going to use a local. And I go, okay, there you go. It's great. I would have loved to bring somebody. Mm-hmm. I can't for, you know, it's up to them.
It's up to the club.
Once you start selling out shows, you know, Taylor brings who she wants. Nate brings who they want. And when you're doing theaters and stuff too, then you control the whole show.
But I mean, clubs will still ask. Like, hey, can we have a pop-in? Hey, can we?
Yeah, the reality is I don't control the shows. The Texas ones,
Yeah.
probably all but 10 minutes is going to be clean.
Yeah.
maybe 20, depending.
And sometimes clean it means different things to different comics.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like you can say TV clean or there's been shows.
There's comics that are cleaner than me. I've gotten in trouble at certain gigs before. I had a pastor apologize to his church on Sunday after my show. So there
That's right. Yeah.
Because I referenced a relationship cheating. That's it. That's all it takes.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was very nice after the show. Very nice after the show. He wanted to go golf. He couldn't wait to have me back. And then he got 3 nasty emails and cowered over.
Well,
it's all right. His responsibility is not to me. It's to his
people. He's got this whole congregation he has to manage.
He's a big church pastor. You know how I feel about this.
Well.
What? Continue?
Anyway.
Your thoughts?
Comedy in church.
Comedy. So anyways, that's that, everybody. Good question, though. Good question.
Yeah, no, but I've been in those green rooms when they're like clean, but like clean, and you're like, I mean, what are you gonna do? Like, what's your line here? You know, and sometimes it goes over great, and sometimes it doesn't, and then you just move on.
You just move on
to the next act.
This is what I tell people who open for me who know that I'm clean. They go, do I have to be clean? I go, no, you don't have to be clean. You're a comedian. Be who you want to be, but know that if it's my audience, a good portion of them are going to prefer clean, and you probably do better if you are clean. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like TV where you have to tell the jokes to you in advance and write them out.
Exactly.
You know, there's always, you know, room for dirty to get in there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next question. This is, the subject says Canadian here. This is from Caitlin.
All right.
She says, hello, Nickersons. I'm Canadian and I live in Alberta. I'm walking in and listening to your podcast and had to respond to your question. Steel yourself. Alberta is like Florida and Texas combined, except significantly colder. We're in a tense time politically. Might I suggest Googling Canadian trucker convoy? I did see that. And frame your jokes accordingly. Spoiler, not a good look for Canada. Edmonton is a city, so it'll feel like Vancouver's younger brother that's in the middle of puberty. That's very funny. That does help. She said, hope that helps. And it does. Thank you. Back to Vancouver this...
You're up in Vancouver tomorrow.
I'm Vancouver tomorrow. I'm going to fly to Vancouver tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Or today.
Yes, today. Depending,
I don't know when you listen to this podcast, everybody. Here we go. Subject, Grand Slam. This is from Catherine. This is our last email.
Okay, Catherine, let's hear it.
Hi, Dustin and Melissa. Perhaps this story is a Grand Slam of sorts as it combines cousins, basements, and lice.
That is. Mm-hmm. That's a trifecta.
My sister and brother live in Atlanta. Tell them to come to my show. And they discovered all the cousins and my sister-in-law had lice after a get-together. My sister-in-law immediately took herself and her 2 daughters to the, quote, lice spa, where for something like $500, they walked out the door a few hours later lice-free. Is that a thing?
These are things. I have a number.
Yeah.
I have not. Called. I have 3, you know, full daughter mom heads that I've been combing for coming up on 3 weeks.
Would you have done...
We're reaching that point.
That they're gone.
Well, they're either gone or we're calling someone.
We're going to the lice spa.
Yeah.
My sister, on the other hand, is a more frugal do-it-yourselfer.
That would be me.
Yeah. She had her kids sleeping on mats on the semi-finished basement floor so as not to contaminate the house. Before bed, she doused their heads in Listerine and then sealed the treatment with a shower cap. In the morning, shower caps came off. Listerine was rinsed out. And next came the vinegar spray to help comb out the nits. They went through this routine for about a week. It was so funny to me picturing the 4 cousins soaked in Listerine and sleeping in shower caps, imagining their 2 cousins with their lice-free heads sleeping in their beds. For about $10 versus $500, all the lice died in the end. Thanks for the laughs and making time to do laundry and dishes more enjoyable. Oh, that's nice. Peeling is what we're doing. Laundry and dishes.
So much laundry and dishes.
That's a woman after your own heart right there. Oh, yep. Thanks for the email.
Listerine. Vinegar, I haven't done either of those.
Those sound like at-home treatments. Listen, what's more pumped full of chemicals than Listerine? That's not natural.
I mean, we swam yesterday, so.
Yeah, I know. One of the funniest, probably more shameful things we've ever done is after our terribly sandy kids. Like our kids were terribly sandy from the beach. Before we got home, we swung by the local pool.
I forgot we did that once. We're just like doo-doo-doo in the water.
Hey, you guys want to go in the pool? Get in quick. Go. No, you can't shower beforehand because they'll see that in the.
They're like, are they sandy?
I don't know how all this sand got in the pool. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Hey, folks, want to give a special shout out to our Essential as Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up tier. That list is Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Code DeGrow, Dave Hoagland, Damarius Diaz Stevens, Nicole Carraz, Tiffany Payne, Farah Journey, David and Melissa Cox, Isaac Taran, Lori Amos, Carrie Teague, The Forgotten Friend Reptile Sanctuary, Jordan Cowan, Courtney Ibling, Juliana Smith, Bonnie Galeando, and Jennifer Ashley Downs.
Thank you guys so much for what you give to the pod.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.